Welcome to the Growing in Grace podcast, where you can listen in on some casual conversation about the good news of Jesus without all of the inconsistent religious double talk. If you've ever struggled with feelings of hopelessness, guilt, and despair, or wondered if you're really right with God, it's time to discover the true freedom that comes with the gospel of unlimited and overflowing grace.
Once again, on the airwaves of the Growing in Grace podcast, I'm the Cap. Breeze man over there, Joel is his name, Mike is mine. We're glad you're along with us. Thank you for telling somebody about the podcast. And keep in mind, even though you can pick it up on a lot of different podcast platforms, you can also find our archived programs available anytime at growingingrace.org, growingingrace.org. If you're doing a search, it's Growing in Grace. Look for Mike and Joel, and you'll see the newest programs at the top.
Yeah, we're all over the place. A while back, a couple years ago, I think I had also started us on Rumble. So it's like a YouTube alternative. And it was supposed to transfer everything from YouTube over, but I found that it wasn't doing that. It did a few. So anyway, if anyone heard me say that a while back, that we were on Rumble, and then said, what are you guys, why are you not, why is there not so many episodes on there? Well, I started doing it just manually. So we're on Rumble, YouTube, Spotify, you know, all these places that you can find podcasts, and it's also great to hear from you. The majority of our comments and interaction is on YouTube, Spotify as well lately. So, but wherever you want to get a hold of us, it would be cool to hear from you, see what you have to say, what you think about what we're talking about.
Joel, to follow up on recent programs, let's talk about love. Sounds like a title to
let's
a song.
Talk about love.
I have no idea what song that was you were just trying to sing, but I'll buy it.
I don't either. It's copyrighted now.
Backside of a 45, as it might be.
It's a B-side.
Some people have no idea what we're talking
if
about.
If I were to put out records, they would all be B-sides.
When I was a youngster, you know, I think before I ever bought an album, I'd go out and buy 45s, singles. And doggone it, if the backside of that thing didn't have a dog of a song every single time. It's like, surely you've got something better to put on here.
You know what the my funnest experience with a 45 and the B-side was? You know, Roger Hodgson, he was in Supertramp. He did a solo. I don't know how many solo things he did, but he had a song called Had a Dream. And the single was, I don't know, like 8 or 9 minutes. And the first part of the song was on side A of the 45. And then you flip it over to hear the last part of the song. So it was that was pretty cool. But you had to actually flip the record to hear the whole song.
We've come a long way, baby.
Definitely.
You know, somebody was quoted as saying that, I want to word this in a way that people can get it, that there are those who will be considered heirs of the kingdom, which is something promised to those who love God. Heirs of the kingdom, are they not rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which God promised to those who love him? Is that a true statement? Some are going to try to say yes, because it's in the Bible, after the cross. But that puts us back under works. That puts us back under law. Law that we were never under, but that the Jews were, at least prior to the cross. Joel, when I came to grace, I came to faith as a young child, but when I came, that is, believing in Jesus, that happened early in my life. When I came to understand, or at least get a glimpse of grace, true, pure, unadulterated grace for the first time, quite a few years later is when I ran into that. As we discussed this a few weeks ago on our anniversary podcast, number 1,000. But I think the one thing, there were many things, but let me point out one that completely changed my life. I mean, it wiped my mental slate clean and got me in a whole different paradigm in understanding this thing we call the gospel and Christianity. And it was coming to the realization that there was nothing I could do to make God love me more or accept me more. And there was actually nothing that I could do that would cause him to not accept me or to love me less. I think somewhere, even though I maybe never really articulated it even to myself, I think that's where I was at prior to grace. I wondered, am I doing enough of the right things? Have I failed too many times? What do I have to do to get right here with God, with my confessions and so forth, so that I can start over again? Take 62 million. Take 63 million. So where this left me was in a place of astonishment and peace and indescribable words. I can't come up with an explanation on what I was going through at that time once I began to understand this, that it was all of him. It was all because of him and nothing to do with what I'm out there trying to do for him. It's what he did for me. And that kind of love, beginning to realize, because I mean, we've all heard about the love of God since, you know, day one, but now I began to understand it. Because there were times in my life where I thought, okay, yeah, I get it. Yeah, God loves us. All right, let's move on. Let's graduate from that. Now let's get serious and get down to business here. You know, that was kind of my attitude. Then grace changed all of that. And you know, John in his epistle, chapter 4, said, let us love one another. Love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, because God is love. God is love. And he goes on from there. In this is love, not that we loved God. Now just stop here for a second. This completely spins the stone tablets in the other direction. In this is love, not that we loved God. Think about that. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. And so we see now after the cross, we begin to see this after the cross of what God's love really is. And it's not love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. That was law. People didn't live up to that. And so when we begin to realize this love, you know, John said something else in his gospel book in the first chapter, that the law came through Moses, but grace and truth would be realized through Jesus Christ. Well, once we realize this kind of love that isn't going anywhere, it's here to stay, and it's not based on you and me deserving it. Once we begin to understand that in a supernatural sort of way, it will change our attitude toward others. It's kind of like what Paul said, Joel. Jesus, before the cross, was talking about some old covenant lingo when he said that if you don't forgive others, God won't forgive you. Well, thank goodness that's not the case for us, or we'd be in big trouble like the Jews were under that law. And so Paul put it a different way, after the cross, after the blood of Jesus, after the ratification of the new covenant, that we forgive because we realize God's forgiveness for us. Once we realize that, then we, if I can use the word naturally, then we naturally forgive others because we realize that that's just something we ought to do because we've been forgiven. And the same is true kind of with love. It just kind of changes the whole perspective.
Yeah, it goes to the thought of we've talked about this in years past, you can't give what you don't have, or you can't give what you don't know you have. And if you don't know the love of God, then it's hard to love other people with that love. It's pretty logical thinking right there. But I think what John is talking about there in 1 John, and of course Paul talks about it a lot as well, is, if we could put it just in easy terms for us to understand, get to know the love of God, and then you'll be able to turn around and love other people that way, as opposed to trying to live up to some commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your might, and you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. Those are commandments that are, we've talked about this too, but they're impossible. I mean, loving God with all, I mean, that was the commandment. You have to love him with everything that you've got, and you have to love your neighbor as you love yourself, you know, in whatever way you do, you know, things that you do for yourself because you love yourself, you love other people that way. I mean, anyway, those are commandments from the law. And like you said, this is kind of flipped around where get to know God's love for you. You can't, and that thing, it was the, you know, there was a song by Tony Vincent, I can't make you love me more, I can't make you love me less, I can't make you love me more, can't impress you with my deeds. And I've heard other people say it in pretty similar ways, and maybe a little different ways too, but the idea that, yeah, I can't do a thing to make God love me more. And there's also nothing I can do that would ever make him love me less. He is love, like you just talked about. And when you know that love, that changes everything. You don't have to become something for God. You already are, and he already loves you as you are. And with all your warts and all, as they say, with your imperfect behavior, let's put it that way, with my imperfect behavior, with your imperfect behavior, with the fact that none of us has a performance that is anywhere close to the perfection that would be expected if we had to live up to some sort of standard in order to please God. But it's all because of his great loves. And Paul had talked about this. He said, like in Ephesians 5, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us. So right there, it's Christ first loved us, and so walk in love because Christ first loved us. Ephesians 5:28, so husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Okay, so husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. That's, you know, it's like, instead of focusing on, I have to love. So get to know the love of Christ. Get to know the love of God. See what his love is like. See that he doesn't place demands on us. See that he doesn't put all these expectations on us, but he just loves us as we are. And the more we get to see his love for us like that, the more that we can see other people like that in our own lives. And don't put pressure on yourself. That's the thing. The beautiful thing about love is that there is no pressure that you had to put on yourself to love others. get to know the love of God. It's like we were talking in recent weeks about works. And when our focus is on works, then the pressure is on us to perform. But when our focus is on Christ, then we get to know and to see what he is doing in us. And it's the same with God's love. It's not a pressure performance-based thing. It's getting to know him first, and then seeing what comes out of that.
Yeah, we love because he first loved us, John went on to say in his epistle. And I think, you know, a spouse could say, well, I have to love because my wedding license says so. that's probably something that needs a little TLC there. but... you know, people talk about a license to sin. We haven't really been given a license to sin. We haven't been given a license to love either. It's right. Just part of who we are in him.
Mm-hmm.
It's got nothing to do with anything written down. No letters involved. That's a very special and spiritual thing. And once we begin to understand that we love because we realize his love for us, that affects everything else that we can do. And as we talked about previously, I think maybe even last week, what is it that we're supposed to do now? well, obviously, we love each other, we love one another, but what does that result into? Could result into all kinds of different things that God will, you know, the God who began a good work in you is faithful to complete that work. You know, because he is love, he has a way of being able to move through people, like I said before, and maybe sometimes it's not even always evident outwardly. There are people who just love to go out there and do things outwardly to try to prove they're a Christian, try to prove their faith. Maybe they're trying to prove it to themselves. I don't know. Trying to prove it to God, trying to prove it to others. You are not justified in front of other people. That's not where your justification is rooted. It's just your justification is rooted in Christ and what he did with his shed blood. And so this thing with love, though. But, you know, Jesus warned about this. Remember the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 6 of Matthew. Jesus, I don't have it right in front of me, Joel, but Jesus essentially said, if you're just going to go out and do stuff, you know, give or whatever it is in front of other people to be recognized by those people, then that's really your only reward. So I just think, again, we walk by faith, not by sight. We don't look at that which is seen. We look at that which is not seen. Faith is the evidence of that which is not seen. The Spirit, the ministry of the Spirit, which replaced that old law of written letters and stone tablets that could not bring life, that once had glory but now has no glory at all, the Spirit of God desires for you to understand this incredible love that goes beyond our comprehension. And in turn, what that may result in as you live life here on this planet, that love has a way of seeping out. And affecting people and affecting you in ways that are almost indescribable. So sometimes this attitude, though, of you have to love me, we must love, or you know, like the law said, we must love God with all our heart, soul, and mind and strength, and our neighbor as ourself. Somebody even said, if you fulfill that law, you're doing well. Well, guess what? Nobody fulfilled that law. To think that you can is just a fallacy. But there is something special about the love of God that will completely change people's lives once they begin to see it in a way that they didn't see it before.
This has been Growing in Grace with Mike Kapler and Joel Brzezicki, heard online through various internet sources around the world each week. Access past programs by visiting growingingrace.org. Share it with a friend and listen again next week for more Growing in Grace.